Well, good morning. Grab your Bible. Open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be there in just a minute. I also should admit that while I was sitting down here, I almost thought about giving up the 25 minutes of allocated time that I had and just said, Stephen, just do something. Because, man, that was good. I love that. Great worship. So excited. Always appreciate the opportunity to share a message from God's Word. We're going to do that this morning. Every kid dreams of the day when their parents save up enough money and they take them to that magical place where dreams come true. They call it the happiest place on earth. It's a place where you can be a child or you can be an adult and you still have that same imagination and joy. And for me, when I was a kid, we only lived 15 minutes away from this place. It was a restaurant called Casa Bonita in Denver, Colorado. Yeah, it was an incredible restaurant. It was just a wonderful place. It was every kid's dream that their parents would take them to Casa Bonita. Now, you may have heard of Casa Bonita before. There was a location in Tulsa for a while, but I just assure you something. It was nothing compared to the greatness of the Casa Bonita in Denver. See, the Casa Bonita in Denver had a waterfall with cliff divers. Yeah, it did. It had flame jugglers. It had a gorilla that would chase people around the restaurant. It had Wild West shootouts. It had a haunted cave that you could explore and you could scare your siblings. It was incredible. Every hour there was a puppet show and a pinata for the young ones. And it was just a magical place. In fact, my favorite thing about Casa Bonita was that at your table where you ate food, you could raise this flag. And by raising this flag, you were indicating that you wanted more food. And they would just bring it to you. Without much thought at all. What I didn't know about Casa Bonita when I was a kid is that Casa Bonita was slowly diminishing over the years. And you don't realize this when you're a kid, but the taste of the food, all the way down to the physical structure of the building itself, was falling apart. In 2021, Casa Bonita filed for bankruptcy. And they decided to close their doors. And I'll just be honest with you, I kind of felt like this was the end. You can tell this is a dark moment for me. Well, then, several months after that, there was a rumor that some individuals had bought Casa Bonita and they had plans to revive its menu, fix some of the building up, and reopen the doors for the community. And I am excited to tell you that next month, Casa Bonita is reopening its doors. Nobody else cares except for me. But I'm just telling you something. I am so grateful that somebody took a look at that mess and they said, yeah, I'm going to do something about it. And so on a much larger and certainly more significant scale, I think each of us have this longing inside of us for things to be restored, to be renewed, to be made right. And when you look at the state of our world, you don't have to be religious to see that things are not as they should be, that something needs to be done. And everywhere you turn, there is this brokenness. God's good design for our world seems to just be falling more apart. Now, if you've grown up in the church, or if you've been following the story of Scripture over the past year, you know that the state of our world is actually the result of our brokenness, and that it is our sin that has separated us from God, and because of that, the results have had a ripple effect across this world. But also, if you are new to the Bible, or if you haven't been paying attention over the past year, man, we also know that this isn't the end of God's story. And that while we were designed by God to live in harmony with Him, and while our brokenness has separated us from Him, and while the world is not as it should be, God Himself decided to intercede and make peace. God Himself formed a way that people could be made right with God, that people could be restored and made new. And so we've talked a lot about this, especially over the last couple months. We've talked about, man, God restoring these things and making them new. And He did it through His Son. And He sent His Son into the mess of this world. He lived a sinless life. And He died on a cross carrying our sins so that we could be made right with God. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. That Jesus stepped into the mess of this world and He made it right so that we could be made right with God. And one of the most important elements of the gospel is that it restores the relationship that we have with God. See, the gospel is all about reconciliation. It's all about reconciliation. God reconciling the world to Himself through Christ. And Paul is going to talk about this reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this morning in your Bible classes, you're going to read this text. Most of you will read this and you'll study it and you'll talk about it. But I want to look at part of it this morning, 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to jump down to verse 17. Listen to what Paul says here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And all of this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. What an incredible image of God restoring the world by creating a new creation. And He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the gospel. This is it right here. This is our salvation right here. And this is how God did it right here, by reconciling all things to Him through Jesus. And it's interesting, Paul uses this word a lot in Scripture, reconciliation. And for there to be reconciliation, it means that at one point in time, there was hostility between us and God. We were His enemies, not because of Him, but because of us. Because we chose to lead ourselves further and further away from Him. And so God looked at the mess of this world, and He didn't start adding up sins. He didn't start scraping it new. He said, I will form a new people and make this right. I will reconcile all people to me. And this is a big deal, not just for you and I individually, but for all people collectively who now belong to Jesus. In fact, on another occasion, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 that through Jesus, God reconciled to Himself all things. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And so God's plan of reconciliation isn't just about making peace with you, but it's about making peace with all things. That God is reconciling all things. And so the past month, we've talked a lot about the role that the church plays in the story of Scripture. And man, Phil just brought it home last week. Man, just sitting there, just thinking about all of the incredible ways that we are called to live as the church in this world. And a big, crucial element is that we are united with one another. And I love what Phil said. He said that what we want to be true in the world has to be true of us first. And so it's really important that when you think about reconciliation, the church has to play a major role in this. In fact, our church plays a huge role here in this place, but also out into the world. And so what this means, what the gospel means for us, if you belong to the church, is that the gospel is personal. because it saved each and every single one of us individually from our brokenness and our sin. And the gospel is communal because it brought us into a saved people, the church. But the gospel must be missional. See, what we have been brought into is not about this place, but it's about all things. That we are the people of God helping reconcile all things. And not only did God make reconciliation possible, but look at what Paul says in verse 18 of chapter 5. That God gave us this ministry of reconciliation. He gave the church the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore, we are brought into the family of God not merely as recipients, but as participants. Like, this is who we are, and this is what we are to be about. This is our calling. He has given us the task of helping reconcile all things to Him. And so the blessing that we have received through Christ becomes our calling in this world. No matter what our job is, no matter what we do, no matter where we go to school, our calling is to reconcile people to God. And it must lead people who do not know Jesus to Jesus. And so what you do in the church is good for you individually, and it's good for your Bible class, and it's good for your Q group, and it's good for your circle of Christian friends, but it must also benefit those outside of these walls. The gospel is not for this place. The gospel is for this world. And so we need to be a people that take this ministry of reconciliation. In fact, Paul says this in verse 19. He hasn't just given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are to share the gospel. We are to share the gospel with this world. And here's how we do it. Paul says in chapter 5, verse 20, that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. It's interesting that Paul uses the word ambassadors. We don't see it a lot in Scripture, but it has some pretty significant implications. Most of you know that an ambassador is a representative of a monarch who is sent into a group of people to represent that monarch and to speak on behalf of the king. And so Paul's saying, this is your role in the ministry of reconciliation, that you are to represent Christ to a group of people, to this world, and you are to speak on behalf of the king. Man, there's some major responsibility that has just been placed on our shoulders if you belong to Jesus. And our role in the ministry of reconciliation is to lead people to peace. So here's where I'm getting at. If we are to be a people who belong to the ministry of reconciliation, if we are to be a people that help restore these things and make peace, then I think one of the things, the most important things that we are called to be in this world is we are called to be peacemakers. We are to be peacemakers. And in a world that is often marked with division and conflict, we are called to step into the mess of this world and make peace. And this means we do it in our jobs, and we do it in our schools, and we do it at Walmart a lot, and we do it on the soccer field, especially on the sidelines. We do it here. Our job is to make peace in this world. And you'll notice that I didn't say we are called to be peacekeepers. And I think there's some value in being a peacekeeper. And I don't think it's necessarily wrong that you're a peacekeeper, but there's a major difference between these two things. You probably already know it. To be a peacekeeper isn't a bad thing, but you're working to avoid conflict rather than to resolve the underlying conflict. Peacemakers, on the other hand, they're willing to step into conflict, step into division, step into the mess, in order to build something that is sustainable and lasting, something that is peace, true peace. So in our home, we have my wife and I and our two daughters. We have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. I play the role of peacekeeper in our home. My job is that anytime my two kids argue or fight, I just encourage them to go as far away from each other as possible. Don't look at each other, don't breathe at each other, don't talk to each other. Don't even sing in the other room and mention their name or something. Like, don't do it. Be far, far away. My wife, on the other hand, like most mothers, is the peacemaker in our home. And when she even senses conflict, she grabs those two girls, she brings them together, and she tells them, you are sisters, you're the only sister you've got, you're going to love each other for the rest of your life, you better start getting to it. And she does that. She makes them talk about things, she makes them hug. Very, very tiring things for peacekeepers. We don't love that. But let me just tell you something. This is what it means to be a peacemaker in this world. It means that we're willing to step into this mess and step into the conflict and say, no, this is going to be made right. We are going to do something about this. And Jesus himself was a peacemaker. He wasn't afraid to step in conflict. He wasn't afraid to deal with brokenness. Jesus did it everywhere he went. In fact, I think this is interesting. Do you remember what the first message that Jesus ever proclaimed about the kingdom of heaven was? The first message, and also, I might add, is the most common message about the kingdom of heaven. It happens in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus says, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You'll notice that the first message about the kingdom of heaven was not, everything is good, have joy, you do you, just keep doing what you're doing, life's going to be okay, life is good. No, the first message about the kingdom of heaven was, you are not right with God and you need to get there. The most common message about the gospel is, you are not right with God, you have allowed your sin to lead you away from God, and you need to get there. And this is how we make peace in this world. We remind our world that things are not as they should be. And things are not as they should be because we're not right with God. And I think one of the main reasons people do this so poorly, or they hate the idea of just going out and doing this in this world, is because people have done it so poorly. Like, people have screwed this up for us time and time again. Those who claim to belong to Jesus are judgmental and they're harsh, and they stick their finger in people's faces to tell them how wrong they are instead of telling them how right and good God is. So here are a few things that must be true of peacemakers. Just real quick, must be true of peacemakers. Peacemakers are always motivated by love for both sides. You can't just love God and you can't just love people. You have to say, man, I love people and I love God, and what I want more than anything is for there to be harmony between these two. And so you have to be motivated by love. You also have to be committed to truth. This means that we are willing to step into the mess and say, hey, this isn't right. This isn't right, and we want it to be right. And so we're committed to the truth of what Jesus does in the lives of people and how he works. Peacemakers are also hopeful for reconciliation. I'm just telling you something. The only way you will ever actively work for peace is that if you believe peace is possible. Otherwise, you are just wasting your time. You have to believe and have faith in God that if you act and you work, God is going to reconcile things. Because I think God will and does do these things. In fact, I love this verse in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus makes this comment. He makes it amongst a number of blessings. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And let me just tell you something. One true sign that you are a child of God is that you have experienced the life-transforming peace that Jesus provides, and you want people to experience that as well. So you'll step into the mess so that people can experience this. This morning, we are called to be peacemakers, but that's not always an easy thing to practice, and it certainly takes a lot of work and dedication and commitment and love. And so let me just tell you this morning five quick ways that you can immediately, beginning today, take part in the ministry of reconciliation. Here's the role that you can play and you should play today in the ministry of reconciliation. When you think of all of the good news of what God has done for your life, all of that wonderful message of what the gospel is, your immediate response should be to praise God for that. And so one role that you can play in the ministry of reconciliation is that let your life be a daily praise for what God has done. In fact, we just finished a series with some of our students in our junior high and high school on their faith stories. And it was just really incredible to hear the stories of how God has worked in the lives of our students, even in the midst of some very difficult and broken situations. Our world needs to hear this. Our world needs to hear this, not just that we're broken people and we're sinful people and we're lost people. Our world needs to hear how God has redeemed this story, how God has reconciled us, how God has made us right. They need to hear the good news of this. And this also must mean that we need to pay attention. In 2023, there are limitless ways to be self-focused, ignore others. And can I just encourage you this morning that if you really, truly want to be a part of this ministry, then you have to pay attention to those around you. This will require unplugging. This will require building healthy relationships even outside of this building. It will require active listening. And so I was listening to this podcast here just this past week, and I heard somebody say something that I just thought was really good. He said, "Our neighbors aren't projects or problems to fix. They are people that God loves. And so we need to hear them. We need to pay attention to them." And so if we want people to experience this reconciliation, man, we have to listen to people and pay attention to people. This next thing, I don't know if there's one of these that is the most important or more important than the others, but I just will just tell you this next one. It's almost laughable. If you don't do this, then you can't possibly take part in the ministry of reconciliation, and that is that we practice forgiveness. If we truly want to represent the message of reconciliation, then we need to be reconciled to one another. We need to fix our relationships with one another. And our relationship with others is often a reflection of our relationship with God. And so if we want to represent Christ, then we must represent the heart of God who reconciles all things. And I love that part in 2 Corinthians 5 where God doesn't add up our sins, but instead he makes peace. He finds a way for us to be made right with him. And so the same should be true of us, that we don't add up the sins of those around us, but instead we fight for the relationship. We fight for the peace. Fourthly, we just should be people that promote justice. There's no such thing as peacemaking if you don't promote justice. In fact, N.T. Wright once said, "If Jesus is Lord, any gospel which does not embrace both evangelism and social action is a counterfeit." And isn't that true? If we want to be a people that restore the brokenness of this world, then we must be willing to recognize that things in this world are not as they should be. And we need to be willing to stand up for those things and say, this needs to be made right. At the end of the day, one of the best things that you can do that often becomes our last resort is that we can just pray for people. We can pray for people. And sometimes all that you really can do is just have faith and believe that God is working behind the scenes in the lives of the people that we love. I will tell you that some of my closest friends and my family itself are the people that I'm just praying desperately to God that he will provide a way for me to help make peace between them and Jesus. That I will point them to Jesus and show them all the goodness of the world. And so I just want to encourage you that if you have been praying for someone to find Christ, just keep praying. Keep praying and keep believing that God is able to do what he says he's able to do. See, those who belong to the ministry of reconciliation, they are not people who simply want to see change in the world. They are people who have been changed. They have been people that have been changed by Jesus, and they go out and they do make that change. They go and make that peace in the world. And so there's this verse earlier in 2 Corinthians 5. It always serves as a reminder to me of why I should commit myself to this ministry. Why I should commit myself to the ministry of helping make peace between God and people. And it's in 2 Corinthians 5:14. "For Christ's love compels us." Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, pay attention, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Christ's love should compel you to be a part of this ministry. And I'll notice that I didn't say your love for Christ, because our love for Christ is not as it should be. But the love that Jesus has for us, that he was willing to step into the mess of this world, take on your brokenness, take on your sin, die on a cross so that you could be made right with God, man, that sort of love should compel you, should control you, should motivate you, should push you to lead people in this world to Jesus. And so I pray that the love of Christ will compel this church. Man, what we do in this building matters, but what we do outside of these walls has so much more impact in this kingdom. I heard recently, there was an author, he said this, and it just kind of struck a chord with me. He said that the fracture of our world is begging for reconciliation. When you step out into this world and you see the brokenness, it is begging to be made right. There are people and their lives are begging for something to help make peace, for them to find hope and to be restored and to be renewed. And this is the role that the church has been given, that God has committed to us in this world, is that we would go out and that we would be people that do this, that we would be people that make peace. And so the question is, what is the church going to do about it? What are we, Memorial Road, going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Let's stand. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing another song. I want to pray for us that we will be peacemakers in this world. After we pray, we're going to sing a song, and if you haven't been playing your part, if you haven't been doing your part, man, we just want to invite you, even if it's just in the row that you're sitting in, we want you to just repent. We want you to repent, turn back to God. And if there's a way that we can help you, if you're ready to experience the peace that comes through Jesus, man, we just want to help provide that way this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. God, it is because of you alone that we stand before this place today. It is because of you alone that we have any hope at all. And God, you didn't look at the mess of this world, scrape it off, and cut it loose. God, you said, I will send my son to this world to make it right. And God, so help us to be a people that lead our world to Jesus. This is the gospel. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Let's sing.